Support for KNKX comes from WSECU, now offering 3 new Visa credit cards and 3 new checking accounts, with benefits that fit a variety of lifestyles and financial needs. More information is available at WSECU.org. WSECU, serving Washington since 1957.
Posey, did you go to school in a place where it felt like you were kind of in a bubble?
I mean, literally, I went to school in Iowa.
In an actual bubble?
No.
Because that's literal.
But we were a bunch of progressives surrounded by cornfields, so it felt very bubbly.
I believe it. Well, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. I'm here with producer Posey Gruner. You're listening to Sound Effect. This is our midweek podcast where we grab a story from one of our recent episodes, give it a spin, and talk a little bit about the backstory and some extra context and all that kind of fun stuff. Today, we're going to get into the cutting room floor pieces of this story, which aired on our show, the theme of which was The Kids Are All Right. So that's coming at you right here from Sound Effect on KNKX. There's a debate going on in American higher education about trigger warnings and safe spaces, free speech, and so-called political correctness. In the spring of 2017, the Evergreen State College in Olympia became famous, briefly, in that arena. A discussion about campus equity there had spiraled into a true crisis, with protests, counter-protests, death threats, neo-Nazis, and Tucker Carlson.
Time now for campus craziness, and tonight the title is not an overstatement, it really is crazy.
The crisis has subsided, but it isn't really over. Enrollment is down, and the college is struggling financially. It's in this environment that one professor, Mike Peros, is teaching a class called Liberal Education in the College Bubble, Crossing the Political and Cultural Divide. We sent Sound Effect's Posey Gruner to learn more.
Mike Peros' class looks just like any other at this famously progressive liberal arts college. There's a professor in front of the whiteboard, 14 students at long tables, and freely roaming among their legs, a little dog.
At Evergreen, we welcome all people, all viewpoints, and species. That's what we do at Evergreen.
On this day, the class is talking about confirmation bias. The projector shows a simple math problem.
And here's the data.
SAT-level probability stuff. This problem was part of a study about how people evaluate controversial data. And here's what's interesting. When the title above the graph says something kind of humdrum, like effectiveness of face cream, people who are better at math are better at solving the problem. Makes sense. But when you take the exact same numbers and put controversial words above them, like climate change, something kind of strange happens. Math skills don't matter.
People with high numeracy are more likely to get it right only if it is consistent with their beliefs.
Once you believe something, it's hard to stop believing
it. They get it wrong if it goes against their beliefs.
That's the big question for this class. How did we get into our bubbles? And how do we get out of them? It's a question that almost promises to make people uncomfortable. But these students know what they signed up for. It said it right there in the course catalog. Students who require ideological safe spaces where particular viewpoints are considered offensive may want to seek a different program. At a progressive campus in 2018, those are fighting words. Then there's the fact that a major text for the class is written by Jonathan Haidt. He's the author of a much debated 2015 article titled The Coddling of the American Mind. And finally, there's the fact that Mike Peros, the professor of the class, is surrounded by controversy. Here's what happened. During the 2016-17 school year, racial tensions were high at Evergreen. Then, a professor named Brett Weinstein criticized the format of a campus diversity event that invited white students to leave campus. First, he complained on a campus listserv. Then, after protesters targeted him,
he spoke
to the Fox News host, Tucker Carlson.
Wow. Professor Brett Weinstein joins us.
After the segment aired, there was a brief and scary time at the college where neo-Nazis came to protest, death threats were called in, and graduation had to be moved off campus because of security concerns. Many students and faculty denounced Weinstein as a racist and demanded he resign. In the middle of all of this, Peros publicly defended Weinstein's right to speak his mind. He says he's the only faculty member who did so. Now, Peros created this course years ago, before the protests. But after the protests, he worried that his class would be protested too. That hasn't happened yet. What has happened is exactly what Peros hoped would happen. His students have started to really listen to people they disagree with. It's part of a three-step process that Peros asked every student in the class to go through. First step, identify a hot-button issue you feel like you know the answer to. Here's student Matt Evans.
I think the liberals would put me in right-wing conservative.
Matt's strongly held belief? We need to build the wall. Matt's classmate, Faith Rasmussen, sits right behind him in class, and far to the left of him on the political spectrum. Faith's strongly held belief was about the importance of vaccinations. Second step, explore how you came to your belief.
So my father at the time was
It's that his dad worked at a fishing company. Past tense.
And he ended up losing his job because they paid too much and they had to downsize people. And then they hired a bunch of undocumented immigrants.
That led to Matt holding what he calls a very strong position on immigration. Then there's Faith. She grew up with parents who were doctors, and she has a lot of respect for modern medicine. So it was upsetting when her sister chose not to vaccinate her niece.
I remember when it happened of me being like, I don't want to hear why you're doing this. Like, you're wrong. You're endangering my niece. You're endangering the people she goes to daycare with. Like, how could you? But I would say, like, how could you? And then, like, not listen to the answer, right? So.
Third step. Talk with someone who believes differently than you do. Because of this class, Faith went to talk with her brother-in-law about why they chose not to vaccinate her niece. She didn't really get very far.
He has much less trust in the scientific industry and the healthcare system than I do.
Faith realized that showing her brother-in-law the data about vaccinations wasn't going to change his mind. Still, Faith says she's glad she had the conversation. Matt, her classmate, went through the same three-step process, and he did change an opinion, his own. Before the class started, Matt really only had one opinion about the wall.
That it needed to be up as soon as possible. And now I think it's a big waste of money.
And how many weeks has it been?
7 weeks.
So what do you make of that?
Crazy.
Professor Peros says that's the kind of self-examination that's really essential to the liberal part of a liberal arts education. Not like liberal and conservative, but like liberalis, to be free. To not be tied to one's own ideas. Because you never know, they might be wrong.
Basically, a lot of the books we're reading sort of shows just how irrational we are. And hopefully the effect is, I know that has an effect on me, is that, wow, you know, I'm not as smart as I think. I don't make decisions always the right way. And that, as I think some of the students have told you, we're almost incapable of self-criticism. We absolutely need other people around us to provide other viewpoints.
As for Faith, she says she's glad she took the class.
I think it's the most relevant class being offered on campus right now, to be completely honest. Like, Evergreen is known for being very liberal, very progressive. Some would argue to a fault, right? Like, with the stuff that happened a couple years ago. And I think it's really important to explore that and to be able to check ourselves, because I also identify as, like, a progressive liberal. But you can't just yell at the other people.
That story from Sound Effects, Posey Gruner, who is sitting here with me as we speak. Posey, what kind of sticks out to you from your trip to the Evergreen campus?
Well, I mean, the first thing that I noticed when I drove in is that the Evergreen State College sign is upright once again. In some of the reading that I had done about the protests, I'd seen a picture of that sort of toppled over with some of the letters turned off. So, you know, Evergreen has recovered in some ways. But then as I got to the campus and started talking to people, I realized that there are a lot of ways that, you know, the campus kind of went through a collective trauma, and a lot of people remember it. And even the people who weren't there at the time are sort of surrounded by the after effects of these protests.
Yeah, so this story's not like about those protests exactly, but it seems like it's very much the backdrop against which this story plays out. Can you just kind of remind us a little bit more about how that played out on campus?
Sure, yeah. So things really got going kind of in the spring and early summer of 17. And what happened there is sort of racial tensions had been high on campus for a while. You remember this is right after the 2016 presidential election. And there was an event called the Day of Absence. Evergreen has been doing this for a really long time. Traditionally, students of color leave campus, have a day of talking about issues around race, and then return to campus, where some white students would have also been talking about race issues on campus, and then they have a dialogue together. Mm-hmm. So in the 2017 school year, it was proposed that the format be flipped, and that white students leave campus and students of color stay on campus as a way of signaling, you know, we're important, we're not going anywhere.
Right, and it's not the marginalized group's job to go leave and right. and come back necessarily. Like, let's flip the script a little bit.
Right. A professor named Brett Weinstein objected to the format of the event, specifically the request or the invitation for white students to leave campus. The effect of it was that people started denouncing him as a racist. He said, I am not a racist. I am a free thinker. And things really devolved from there. That professor, Brett Weinstein, has left campus. He no longer felt safe there after some of the protests and some of the outside actors that came in. Another professor, Naima Lowe, who stood with the protesters, also left campus and has not returned. So it was a really toxic environment for a lot of people. And a student that I talked to while I was there said that it was really a disaster for all parties and that the college is still recovering.
Yeah, and as part of reporting this story, you kind of dug into this really charged atmosphere of criticism and commentary and accusations that was going on online all about and in other media, jumping off from this Evergreen protest. How would you characterize that? What is that world like?
Toxic. Scary. You know, it kind of started in a mainstream way where Brett Weinstein felt like he was being targeted by the protesters and that he was being denied his right to speak out. And so he went to the media outlet that wanted to hear about it, which was a show on Fox News hosted by Tucker Carlson. We aired some of that audio in the story itself that you just heard. But, you know, the larger piece, there was a problem there where Tucker Carlson introduced the piece in an intro that Brett Weinstein did not hear. And he said there was a demand that all white students leave campus or else. There was no demand. It was not all white students. And there was certainly no or else. It was an RSVP only invitation for a select few hundred white students to attend an off-campus event. There are thousands of white students on Evergreen campus. It would not have been possible for all students to have left campus. And the effect of that is that a lot of sort of alt-right, neo-Nazi, very hateful attention was directed towards Evergreen.
Yeah. So Professor Peros was pretty worried that, you know, the hangover from that environment was going to affect this class that he's teaching. And as you report in the story, that hasn't really happened yet. Does it seem like this actually is moving towards some kind of healing or reconciliation or processing of the trauma that the college went through?
You know, I asked Professor Peros this question. I said, you know, what effect do you think this class is going to have on the environment here at Evergreen? And he said, none, I don't think. I don't really think that it will have an effect. And, you know, that was disappointing to me to hear because I think he really does believe in the ideas behind the course. He really does believe in the things that he's teaching. But it's only 14 students. Mm. And so I think he really wants to make sure that the individual students in his class have the tools that they need to think critically about these things going forward. So I think that he's sort of a pessimist about whether or not these students will be able to affect the campus culture. But right after right after class was over, there happened to have been a protest outside about policing on campus and spending money on policing, and specifically on buying guns for the campus police, as compared to spending money on faculty, which is what the student protesters believe should be happening. And the students who were in Professor Paris's class actually went outside afterward and engaged in a discussion with one of the people who were protesting. And so, you know, there was this micro way in which they were able to use the conversation techniques that they learned in the class to actually engage with somebody that they might not have otherwise engaged with.
Yeah, small steps. All right, well, Posey Gruner, one of our producers who produced this story with the help of contributor Bethany Denton. Thanks a lot to Bethany, and thank you, Posey.
Thanks, Bethany, and thanks, Gabe.
So be sure to check your feed on Saturday. We'll have our usual episode coming up. The theme this weekend is competition. A lot of really interesting stories there, including a baseball game inside of San Quentin Prison. So we'll be taking you into that. And in the meantime, we love your feedback at soundeffect@knkx.org. And for the Sound Effect team, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. See you around.